Bienvenidos a Tierra Insurgente.
Marhaba, ahlan wa sahlan, salam alaykum a Tierra Insurgente, Intifada al-Ard. Welcome to Tierra Insurgente, Intifada al-Ard.
Tierra Insurgente, Intifada al-Ard, es una alternativa a los medios convencionales de comunicación comprometidos a hablar de lo que no se habla. Insistimos, demandamos nuestro derecho a hablar y a actuar y a construir un mundo basado en nuestro propio contexto, historia y experiencia. Estamos comprometidos a la libertad, autodeterminación, tierra, lucha, justicia, comunidad y a los derechos de la gente indígena, así como de todos los oprimidos, a existir en nuestros propios términos y a defendernos en contra de cualquier forma de ocupación y opresión en las maneras en que nosotros lo definamos. Estamos comprometidos a luchar en contra del silencio y la ceguera, estamos comprometidos a la gente y a las comunidades, hablando y actuando por nosotros mismos.
Tierra Insurgente Intifada al-Ard is an alternative to conventional media committed to speaking what is not spoken. We insist and demand our right to speak and act and to construct a world based on our context, history and experience. We are committed to freedom, self-determination, land, struggle, justice, community, and the rights of indigenous peoples and all oppressed peoples to exist on their own terms and to defend themselves against all forms of occupation and oppression in ways that they define. We are committed to struggling against silence and sleep and to people and communities speaking and acting for themselves.
El Tratado de Libre Comercio se formó inicialmente en el año 94 cuando Estados Unidos propuso en una reunión de los Estados americanos la inclusión de un tratado en bloque por la aparición de nuevos bloques como es la Unión Europea, el fenómeno asiático y todo eso. Entonces sucede que ha habido un cierto tipo de rechazo a la propuesta del ALCA del año 94, entonces es donde se optó por el gobierno norteamericano poder hacer tratados pequeños con pequeños bloques de países o de manera individual. Entonces sucede que lamentablemente se está negociando pues actualmente con Ecuador, con Colombia, con Perú, algunos temas que son muy susceptibles, sobre todo para los países que somos más pobres, ¿no? Como los ya mencionados. Es por eso que nosotros hemos impulsado la campaña en contra del Tratado de Libre Comercio, tomando los ejemplos que ya se están dando en el NAFTA, por ejemplo, ¿no? Con la firma con México, con Guatemala, con Honduras y también con Canadá. Entonces, la repercusión ha sido enormemente perjudicial, sobre todo para los sectores más pobres. Y nosotros, que somos un país muy pobre, obviamente que nuestra repercusión va a ser mucho peor.
¿Qué es lo que se pretende con el Tratado de Libre Comercio? Que el capitalismo norteamericano acapare mercados. Pero que además, ustedes lo saben muy bien, que lo económico subordina a lo político. Y es lo que se pretende. El Tratado de Libre Comercio es un proyecto colonizador, que termina con todas las expectativas de un país en su soberanía, su libertad y su progreso. Lo que se pretende con el Tratado de Libre Comercio, debido a que el ALCA no ha funcionado, es crear precedentes.
Buenas noches, bienvenidos nuevamente a Tierra Insurgente. Esta noche acabamos de escuchar grabaciones que hicimos la semana pasada en el programa acerca del Tratado de Libre Comercio. Esas fueron las voces de Giancarlo y Guillermo, compañeros peruanos que tuvieron hicieron el esfuerzo de comunicarse con nosotros para darnos un reporte acerca de lo que está pasando en Perú, específicamente con respecto a la posible firma del Tratado de Libre Comercio. Quiero hablar con ustedes un poco esta noche acerca de el Tratado de Libre Comercio como una forma de ocupación. Basados en lo que acabamos de escuchar, hemos escuchado una oración muy impactante, que es el Tratado de Libre Comercio como una forma de colonización, un intento colonizador. Esto se debe a que el Tratado de Libre Comercio es un proyecto neocolonialista, capitalista, imperialista, que pretende dominar nuestros recursos naturales, nuestra fuerza laboral y demás recursos que existan en los países en los que estos proyectos se pretenden llevar a cabo y se han llevado a cabo. Por ejemplo, en México tiene 10 años de experiencia de Tratado de Libre Comercio y lo único que ha sucedido ha sido que la economía ha empeorado para la gente de la clase trabajadora, para los pobres, y solamente son los ricos los que se hacen cada vez más ricos, mientras muchos, debido a que este tratado arrasó y acabó con sus tierras y su producción, se vieron forzados a emigrar a este país. Es una realidad que sucede en diferentes países. Hemos hablado en anteriores programas que nosotros consideramos que los tratados de libre comercio son una de las razones por las cuales mucha gente emigra. Cualquier forma de opresión económica y política son causas principales para la inmigración. En este caso, nosotros, como parte de la comunidad inmigrante dentro de este país, reconocemos las maneras en las que nos vemos enfrentados a esa opresión que nos hizo abandonar nuestros países dentro de ese mismo país, en nuestras nuevas vidas, entre comillas, aquí como gente trabajadora. Y es algo que hay que reconocer. Muchas veces no nos damos el tiempo de pensar cuáles son las verdaderas razones por las cuales emigramos, y una vez que lo cuestionamos, lo atribuimos simplemente a lo que pueda pasar internamente en un país, sin reconocer que ninguno de nuestros países se rige por sí mismo, sino que se rigen por un sistema que sale de países como Estados Unidos, y todos nuestros países y gobiernos son fieles y sumisos ante las órdenes de este país, con algunas excepciones de países que están luchando actualmente por su soberanía. El Tratado de Libre Comercio es una de las causas de la inmigración masiva, porque con ella la economía del país decrece de manera increíble, dejando desempleada a millones de personas, dejando sin educación a miles de jóvenes, a miles de niños y adultos, dejando sin cultura e historia. ¿Y por qué dejando sin historia y cultura? Porque al penetrarse el Tratado de Libre Comercio, nos vemos despojados de muchas de las cosas que son nuestras para abrirle las puertas a productos o costumbres o diferentes expresiones del país que nos impone este Tratado de Libre Comercio, dejando cada vez más atrás el reconocimiento de dónde es que nosotros venimos. Y es por eso que es un intento colonizador, porque cuando a nosotros se nos coloniza, se nos mete en la cabeza una serie de ideas falsas y mentiras acerca de nuestra realidad, para que nos ceguemos ante la verdadera historia de cómo es que nosotros nos vemos forzados a sobrevivir en nuestras tierras de origen, o en este caso como inmigrantes dentro de este país. Me atrevo a decir que luchar en contra del Tratado de Libre Comercio y luchar en contra de, por ejemplo, el Plan Colombia, cualquier forma de opresión económica y política, es luchar por los derechos de los inmigrantes. Como inmigrantes dentro de este país, tenemos que reconocer que cuál es la verdadera historia de nuestra inmigración y reconocer esa raíz. Y cuando reconozcamos esa raíz, vamos a darnos cuenta que las mismas personas que nos hicieron abandonar nuestros países son las mismas personas que nos están oprimiendo dentro de este país donde vinimos para buscar una mejor calidad de vida o mejores oportunidades. Y es por eso que si luchamos en contra de las causas que nos hicieron abandonar nuestros países, estamos luchando como inmigrantes dentro de este país por una mejor situación, por una mejor calidad de vida, donde sea que estemos, porque vamos a recuperar algo que se nos ha querido arrebatar, que es la conciencia, que es la claridad, que es la libertad de pensamiento, de palabra, de expresión, de sentimiento. Y también tenemos que oponernos a las llamadas guerras en contra del terrorismo y a las guerras en contra de las drogas, porque no son nada más que teatros creados por este sistema capitalista para que nosotros nos confundamos cada vez más y veamos muy lejos la posibilidad de identificar las verdaderas causas que nos hacen inmigrar y las verdaderas historias de nuestro pueblo. Entonces, es por eso que tenemos que levantar nuestra voz en contra de estas formas de colonización y de opresión y de ocupación. La ocupación no necesariamente incluye tanques y misiles y bombas. Esas bombas, tanques y misiles pueden ser proyectos como este, como el Tratado de Libre Comercio, como el Plan Colombia, que mata a miles de personas con una justificación falsa. Quiero incentivarlos a que sigan sintonizándose, quiero incentivarlos a que busquen información, a que se concienticen, que nos concienticemos juntos y que cada vez busquemos diferentes alternativas y que hagamos uso de esas alternativas para poder abrir los ojos y decirle no a este sistema opresor, donde quiera que estemos, haciendo las conexiones para no quedarnos encerrados luchando por una sola cosa, sino hacer la conexión entre las diferentes luchas y así solidarizarnos e internacionalizar nuestra lucha a la vez. Eso es todo lo que tengo que decir por ahora y a continuación vamos a escuchar una canción que me hace sentir muy, muy resistente, porque es una canción que estoy segura que a muchos de los que escuchen se van a sentir identificada con ella.
Yo ya estoy hasta la madre de que me pongan sombrero. Escucha entonces cuando digo, no me llames frijolero. Y aunque exista algún respeto, no metamos las narices, porque inflamos la moneda, haciendo guerra a otros países. Te pagamos con petróleo o intereses nuestra deuda. Mientras tanto no sabemos quién se queda con la feria. Aunque nos hagan la fama de que somos vendedores de la droga que sembramos, ustedes son consumidores. Don't call me gringo, you fucking dealer. Stay on your side of that goddamn river. Don't call me gringo, you beaner. No me digas beaner, mister puñetero. Te sacaré un susto por racista culero. No me llames frijolero, pinche gringo puñetero. Now I wish I had a dime for every single time I've gotten stared down for being in the wrong side of town. In a rich man I'd be if I had that kind of chips. Lately I wanna smack the mouths of these racists. Podrás imaginarte desde afuera ser un mexicano cruzando la frontera, pensando tu familia mientras que pasas, dejando todo lo que tú conoces atrás. Si tuvieras tú que esquivar las balas de unos cuantos gringos rancheros, le seguirás diciendo good for nothing, we're back. Si tuvieras tú que empezar de cero. Now why'd you look down on where your feet is planted? That U.S. soil that makes you take shit for granted. If not for Santa Ana, just to let you know that where your feet are planted would be Mexico. Correcto! Don't call me gringo, you fucking beaner. Stay on your side of that goddamn river. Don't call me gringo, you beaner. No me digas mietero. Te sacaré un susto por raciste culero. No me llames frijolero. Pinche gringo puñetero.
llamado Perú. Llamados Perú.
Acabamos de escuchar Triciclo Perú con Los Mojarras, un grupo de rock peruano.
So as part of our ongoing analysis of the FTA, FTAA, and NAFTA, we heard a compelling analysis by our compañeros from Peru, Giancarlo, and Guillermo. And what I'd like to do now is, based on a article that was written by Giancarlo, give an analysis in English about the FTA. Of course, at Tierra Insurgente Intifada del Art, we're putting the context of the FTA in a larger context of the imperial conquest, not only of the Middle East, but of Latin America. And that is an analysis that we have to be very clear about, that the FTA, FTAA, and NAFTA are nothing more than an extension of the exploitation and a wish by the empire at this point to extend its domination over large segments of the world and specifically in Latin America. It's a form of occupation. So what I'd like to do now, as I said, is paraphrase and give some analysis based on this article written by Giancarlo. The Free Trade Agreement, the FTAA, is a USA project that was formally presented at the Summit of Americas hosted in Miami in December 1994 as a petition of the U.S. government and its enterprise sector to include 34 Latin American countries, excluding Cuba, to guarantee their economic products by controlling a territory that goes from one pole in the north to the other pole in the south that includes U.S. products, services, technology, and capital, and that this capital would have free access without any restriction whatsoever in Latin America. This FTAA was rejected uniformly by all Latin American countries, and that's why the process of negotiating individual projects or by blocks of countries was developed. This is the process of the FTA. So in other words, because the original FTAA was soundly rejected by Latin American countries, the United States chose a divide-and-conquer strategy where they would negotiate specific deals either by blocks of one, two, or three countries or individual countries. What I'd like to describe now is a little bit about the situation in Peru. Recently, a poll conducted by the University of Lima indicated that 40% of Peruvians that were interviewed did not know anything about the negotiations with the United States to sign the free trade agreement, and 33% knew very little about it. This is quite extraordinary, and we're going to hear a little bit later about why it is that so few people in Peru actually know what the FTA is about. Let's talk a little bit about what's being negotiated in the FTA. A wide range of sectors are being negotiated, from agriculture, public sector purchases, investments, free access to markets, subsidies, services, and intellectual rights and property. And they've installed 9 tables of negotiations, and already they're in the 6th, and it looks like probably the 7th round since this was written. Significantly, most people in Peru do not know anything about this, because what the media and the government describe in terms of their media campaign is that with the FTA, everybody wins. In other words, they're pitching the FTA to Peruvians as if Toledo, the president, signs the FTA agreement, that everybody is going to win, Peruvians, the government, and so on and so forth. However, in terms of agriculture, when we break it down, when we look at the actual effects of the FTA for Peruvians and for farmers and for all sectors of the Peruvian government, if we look specifically at agriculture, for example, we see that North American agriculturists will actually gain $180 million from their government for the period of 2002 to 2012, while Peruvian farmers will have to continue to work as slaves primarily just to keep on surviving. In other words, in terms of the breakdown of what will be lost or gained from the FTA, if it's enacted with Peru and an agricultural sector, is that U.S. Companies will benefit 99.5%, whereas Peruvian farmers will only benefit 0.5%. This is consistent with what we've seen overall in Latin America, where we've seen a massive shift of resources and capital and wealth from the south, from Latin America, to the north, to the United States. It's clear, based on the analysis that has been done so far in other countries, that if it's enacted in Peru, it will have a severely debilitating effect on the economy. For example, we know that 11 years ago, Mexico signed the North American Free Trade Agreement, referred to as NAFTA, and they went from being the second largest corn producers in the world to actually having to buy corn from the United States. We have to ask the question, where and whatever happened to these farmers? More than 1 million Mexican farmers and corn producers had to leave their land as a result of the NAFTA agreement. This is extraordinary when we break it down. Over 1 million farmers lost their livelihood, their land, and their ability to live off the land the way they'd been doing for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. As you can see, there's nothing free about the free trade agreement. And when you can imagine a country like Mexico going from being the second largest producer of corn to importing corn from the United States, you can begin to imagine how outrageous this is. When the Mexican farmers actually protested against the Mexican government, they were surprised to find that they were repelled by local police and also by North American military. Some of these farmers were actually put into jail, and others were being accused of being drug traffickers. So when farmers resisted, they were immediately squashed and either arrested or accused of false crimes. 1 million of these farmers were displaced and had to abandon their way of life because it was impossible to keep on surviving as a result of NAFTA. Additionally, transnational companies privatized much of the land that was lost by these farmers. Tambo Grande, Peru, in Peru, has been identified by North American satellites as one of the biggest auriferous reserves of the world, and this is where the largest lemon production in the whole country exists. And now we're going to talk about the impact of the potential free trade agreement, the FTA, in Peru. To be able to extract gold, which is a major resource in Peru, to be able to extract this gold for the FTA, you have to displace all of the farmers, all of these lemon farmers, just as happened with the corn farmers in Mexico. North America has no economic interest and is producing and in producing lemons because they do not consume lemons, obviously. With the FTA, there would be no impediment for the government to sell this land with the aim of mining of gold without considering the effects of the high contamination produced by the mining activity, which would leave the land useless for agricultural activity. And again, numerous farmers, many of them indigenous Peruvians, would have to be displaced. If this happens, it has been calculated that the price of lemons would go up to 25 to 30 soles, which is about $7 to $10, and it would become almost impossible to consume lemons for those of us and Peruvians who live on the coast and use lemons as part of their daily life. Of course, the government doesn't say this. When Mr. Alan Byron Bessonis was part of one of the tables of negotiations, specifically with intellectual property, at the same time he worked in the Ministry of Foreign Trade for Peru, the day he resigned, he was named manager of corporate subjects of the Pfizer Transnational Company, the biggest pharmaceutical laboratory and company in the world, and this exerts the greatest pressure on the Peruvian government on this subject. Of course, this man knows the complete strategy of negotiating of the country, and now he works for Pfizer. Everything indicates that when the negotiations stop, all of those who are involved in the negotiations on the Peruvian side are going to find very large and significant positions in these multinational, transnational corporations. Unfortunately, no one will consider this treasonous to the homeland because they teach you to sell your land and to the greater power since the moment you grow up. The FTA is treason for Peruvians, and it shouldn't be negotiated. The land of the people of Peru should not be negotiated for the FTA. Of course, Pfizer has a special interest, because when Peruvian lemon prices go up, they will come up with an alternative. I'm sure Pfizer will come up with an alternative for natural lemon, which will be their citric acid, which is made in the USA with full artificial chemicals, helping in supporting the disappearance of that producing sector. There are a number of similar examples of this in Mexico, like the sale of tin tacos made in the US. It wouldn't be surprising that once the FTA is signed and we start eating our traditional, even indigenous foods from cans, dehydrated, or however, all of this is made in the United States, eliminating the good number of jobs. And as you can see, the structure of the FTA as it's implemented throughout Latin America is the same. What happens typically is that sectors are either eliminated or reduced significantly in whatever agricultural, pharmaceutical sectors, and then much more expensive products are imported from the United States into these Latin American countries, causing severe economic hardships, but expanding the markets for the U.S. companies. This will also occur with natural medicines. The FTA will most likely take away uña de gato, maca, etc., both natural medicines that cure a variety of illnesses for Peruvians and help prevent cancer, then bring them back in a reformulated way and sell them at higher prices than what were originally paid by Peruvians. Now let's talk about sovereignty. North Americans have asked Peru to place an additional 8 military bases in river basins where coca growers are trying to live. If the FTA is signed, this would happen. They do not have any special interest in coca plantations because they want to eliminate drug consumption in the world, as they say, with their war against drugs. But one of the reasons for having military bases is the other way around, to promote their ambition to control the production of coca leaves, to produce drugs and own the market as well. This has always been a project of the imperial project for the United States and Latin America, and it should be a surprise to nobody that this is exactly what's going on in Afghanistan. It's no surprise to any of us that in Afghanistan right now they've had the largest harvest of opium since Afghanistan was occupied by the United States. Now, why would anybody in Latin America, and specifically in Peru, trust a country like the United States that violates international law, human rights, creates wars, bombs massively the population of several countries, that is the main guarantor and defender of the daily crimes carried out against the people of Palestine by Israel, after the cruel treatment and torture in the naval bases of Guantanamo and Abu Ghraib, and trying to kill the Iraqi resistance in Fallujah? the creators of the first atomic bomb in Japan that extinguished the real citizens of the United States and financed the Chilean genocide of Augusto Pinochet, etc., etc., etc. It's hard to imagine why anyone would believe the rhetoric that's coming from the United States and from the Toledo regime about the FTA. So what are they asking us Peruvians to believe, that they are doing us a favor by including us into the FTA? If things are as great as they say they are, why are the negotiations not in public? It should be no surprise that all of the negotiations for the FTA in Peru are done secretly. So when you ask a Peruvian what they think about the FTA, they won't know what they're talking about. We should also ask ourselves another question. What level of confidence can we have to the government of Alejandro Toledo to sign the FTA with the vulgar acts of corruption which happen daily in his government? And of course, with the case of Ellen Norman Becenos, the active confidentiality, which forces the media of Peru to withhold any information about the negotiations to the public. Hardly a democratic process. It is true that Mr. Toledo has indigenous features, but it is also true that his heart is North American, because he was educated in North America. And what about the First Minister, Carlos Ferrero, and Mr. Pablo Kuczynski, Minister of Economy and Finances? Are they the patriotic ones who guard the interests of the future of our country? We as Peruvians already have the experience of past thievery in our governments, experiences of privatization of what is now Telefonica, the phone company, El Denor, the power electricity company, all the mining concessions, which brought nothing but poverty and contamination to the indigenous lands of Peru. How can it be possible that the children of Cerro de Pasco, which is a mining city of the Peru capital, in the area of Junin, 14,280 feet above sea level, have so much lead in their lungs and uranium in their blood? Why don't the media talk about this? This is a product of capitalism and the neo-conservative regimes that are set up or supported by the United States. All journalists, and the author included this, have a great debt to the country, which need to start paying this debt off. Journalists cannot no longer remain silent in front of such a menace of an almost done free trade agreement with the almost delinquent country, the most delinquent country of the world, specifically the United States. There are two legal ways to stop this: through a legislative initiative in which 46,000 signatures are required, and through direct referendum, which requires 1 million signatures. The first one requires a majority of votes from the Congress, while the second one is direct and less manipulative, since if Peruvians are able to marshal and get 1 million signatures, the referendum would be with or without the approval of the Congress of the Republic. It has been 10 years since the negotiations about the FTA and FTAA to the hemisphere, and the known information has almost been nothing. And the information we know about it, thanks to the sector in opposition and not by the initiative of the authorities of the state, that obviously feel more comfortable when the people are more disoriented and in the dark. It is only with our hands to face this menace, because the result of the negotiations of the FTA will come to the Congress between March and June 2005, and we cannot trust those who want to negotiate for money. We can only trust the people of Peru, those who love this country, and by supporting the direct referendum and collect 1 million signatures by March. It all depends on us. We'll be right back.
Thank you. Marrakech, 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 Marrakech,
That was Sudan Minnetara, the Bombastic Mix, from Hassan Hakmoun and Zahar, from their album called Trance. Thank you. That was Robiat from Amer Armouri from his album Eastern Strings.
Solo voy con mi pena, sola va mi condena. Correré mi destino para burlar la ley. Perdido en el corazón de la grande Babilón. Me dicen el clandestino por no llevar papel. Pa' una ciudad del norte yo me fui a trabajar. Mi vida la dejé entre Ceuta y Gibraltar. Soy una raya en el mar, fantasma en la ciudad. Mi vida va prohibida, dice la autoridad. Solo voy con mi pena, sola va mi condena. Correré mi destino por no llevar papel. Perdido en el corazón de la grande Babilón. Me dicen el clandestino, yo soy el quiebra ley. Mano negra clandestina, peruano clandestino, africano clandestino, marihuana ilegal. Solo voy con mi pena, sola va mi condena. Correré mi destino para burlar la ley. Perdido en el corazón de la grande Babilón. Me dicen el clandestino por no llevar papel. Argelino clandestino, nigeriano clandestino, boliviano clandestino, mano negra ilegal.
شوف الله يخليك إلى متى إلى متى سادي إلى متى بتوصل شوف لك السماح المول الشمالية اللي كان عندهم ولا شيء نسمع شو موريتانيا ويجي معهم باش نجازين رغدي عطوا واحد هذا واحد.
Buenas noches, hemos llegado al final de nuestro programa. Estamos muy contentos de que hayan estado con nosotros la noche de hoy acompañándonos y esperamos contar con ustedes en nuestra siguiente programación. Antes de retirarnos, queremos dar algunos anuncios de nuestra ave mensajera que ha venido a decirnos que este 5 de marzo se llevará a cabo una reunión comunitaria. ¿Para qué? Para que todos los inmigrantes, gente de color, refugiados, asistamos a una reunión en la que hablaremos sobre cómo organizarnos, cómo la comunidad se puede organizar para formar parte de la marcha masiva a nivel nacional e internacional en este 19 de marzo aquí en San Francisco, en el aniversario en el segundo aniversario de la guerra en contra de Irak. Es muy importante esta reunión porque va a ser uno de los pasos previos al posible resultado que pueda tener nuestra comunidad haciendo presencia dentro de esa marcha. Si pueden hacerlo, por favor asistan. Se ofrecerá cuidado de niños y tendremos muy buenas discusiones. Eso es lo que dice el anuncio. Estaremos por ahí. También el 19 de marzo, nuevamente lo acabo de mencionar, para aquellos que no puedan asistir a las reuniones que estaremos anunciando, por favor no duden en participar, no duden en contactar al posible contingente o grupo de personas que estén haciendo ahí presencia representando a nuestra comunidad en el segundo aniversario de la guerra en contra de Irak, porque vamos a decirle alto a la guerra y ocupación desde Irak a Palestina, Afganistán, Haití, Cuba, Venezuela, en todos lados del mundo, hasta nuestras comunidades aquí dentro de Estados Unidos. También quiero anunciar, mañana en la tarde va a haber una marcha a las 4:30 de la tarde en solidaridad y en protesta al golpe de Estado en Haití, el golpe de Estado que sacó al presidente Aristide del poder, dejando a una gran parte de ese país hasta este momento resistiendo y luchando para su retorno y para su lucha de liberación. estaremos tratando de estar ahí presentes, y el próximo programa les traeremos un reporte acerca de cómo fue esa manifestación, y espero contar con ustedes y su participación en el próximo programa, domingo 8 p.m. Tierra Insurgente en la 103.3 de la FM.
Good evening, everybody. Just a few announcements before we end our show this evening. First of all, we'd like to invite members of communities of color, oppressed people, and immigrants to join us for a meeting this Saturday, March 5th at 2:30 p.m. To start thinking and speaking and organizing and thinking about how we're going to confront all of the things that are confronting our communities, especially as this particular war machine continues to spend money for war and occupation and take away money for healthcare, education, and other programs for our community. So we're inviting you to come to a meeting this Saturday, March 5th at 2489 Mission Street, room 28. Child care and refreshments will be available. Also, put on your calendars March 19th, which is the second anniversary of the invasion and destruction of Iraq. There are going to be programs all over the world, international protests all over the world in all the major cities. And in the Bay Area specifically, we're going to be meeting at 11 a.m. March 19th at Dolores Park and marching to the Civic Center. So put it on your calendars. Stand up. No to racism. No to occupation in Iraq, Palestine, Haiti. No FTA. No cuts to health care. And put the money in programs here and not to fund the war machine. Lastly, we want to call your attention to a protest in solidarity with the people of Haiti tomorrow at 4:30 p.m. We're going to be meeting at UN Plaza at 4:30. Join us there and standing in solidarity with the people of Haiti. As we know, Haiti is occupied too, and we have to end the occupation of Haiti. Good evening, everybody. This has been Tierra Insurgente, Intifada del Ard, 103.3. Stay tuned for our next show next Sunday, 8 p.m. Thank you.
Nuevamente quiero hacer el anuncio porque olvidé darles las direcciones de los diferentes sitios donde se van a llevar a cabo estas actividades. Un pequeño detalle. La reunión comunitaria se estará llevando a cabo en la 2489 calle Misión, oficina número 28. Y la marcha el 19 de marzo, en el segundo aniversario de la guerra en contra de Irak, será... la concentración se llevará a cabo a las 11 de la mañana en el Parque Dolores y se marchará hasta el Centro Cívico. Y la manifestación mañana en contra del golpe de Estado de Haití y en solidaridad con su lucha de liberación se llevará a cabo a las 4:30 en el UN Plaza, donde también habrá una marcha a los diferentes consulados donde es de los países que están enviando tropas a Haití. Esperamos contar con su participación. Nuevamente gracias y nos vemos.
RBGs. Know what I mean? It's war. Know what I mean? Yo, Stick. I mean, you should be real on war. The block. Pigs be out there, occupied army. RBGs, it's a takeover, not a makeover. Yeah. The cops stop you just because you black, that's war. Run you through the system for your prints, that's war. When they call my hood a drug zone, that's war. Slumlord charging you for rent, that's war. Why they so rich and we poor, that's war. If you're young and black, you sell crack, that's war. The White House is the rock house, that's war. George Bush coming out his mouth, that's war. Chilling on the corner with your gang, that's war. Popo do the same damn thing, that's war. When they murdered Amadou Diallo, that's war. Marching in the streets is a strategy of war. Knowing self-defense is a strategy of war. Soldiers try to link with other soldiers in the war. Revolutionaries got to know the art of war. War, what about hip-hop? Use that. Matter of fact, fuck a rap battle. What about a gap battle? Let's take it to the beast and see which cat tattle. Is it Kiss versus Beans or P versus Hov? What about y'all real niggas against the 5-0? This is M1, DPs, don't you forget. Cause you could talk, 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 but that don't mean shit. I ain't gotta pop your top to see where your brains went. This rap shit is way bigger than entertainment. It's the people versus the pigs when it all go down. It's not Pop versus Big, it's who's getting the power. And power ain't money, dog, it's self-determination. Like taking hot and making it the real people station, that's war. Know what I mean?
life. More or less, more so, it's still war. Dead prayers, the people radio. Yeah. Get down, get down, get down. RBGZ, biatch.
You are now listening to WRBG, the people's radio. It's a takeover, not a makeover.